Buenos días, iglesia. That is all the Spanish you're going to hear from me today. Sorry. It is very humbling and an honor to be up here and share with you guys today. I'm very grateful. I have to say this before I continue. I just have to express some gratitude to God for this church and what he has done in my life through this church. Like Jim was saying, my family's been coming to this church since I was 11 or 10 or so, and I think, like, this year the most, it's been revealed to me how amazing it is that I've been here most of my life. I ascribe a lot of my faith in God to this church. It's a very special place. There aren't churches like this everywhere you go, and so I'm just very grateful to be a part of this congregation and let alone work with our youth ministry and our campus ministry, so I'm just very grateful. Today, I wanted to share with you some collected thoughts. I've spent the last 2 months diligently seeking out to understand what the word discipleship means, and I wanted to share my findings with you. It's kind of a combination of just quiet times and prayer and Bible studies I've been doing, because I really wanted to know what discipleship actually means. I think it's very important that we know what words mean, because words are very powerful. They say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I don't believe that for 1 second. Words have been hurting me my entire life, and I'm still recovering from some of the words I've been given in my lifetime. But on the other side of that, words can be very uplifting and life-giving and encouraging, and I've also received those. Those are very good. Words are very powerful. You have to know what words mean. For example, last week, my family was having a game night at my brother Ron's house, Ron Jr., and we were playing a game of categories, and we were supposed to be coming up with a list of things you find in a coffee shop that start with the letter O. The only thing my creative mind could come up with was opportunity to be like Jesus. I'm that guy in these games. But I thought it made sense. I was like, you walk into a coffee shop, there's opportunity to be like Jesus. You tip the barista a little bit more. You give an old lady your chair. You pay for someone's meal. You pray for somebody. I don't know. Opportunity to be like Jesus. No one at the table gave me points for that answer. I was like, are you kidding me? That's an amazing answer. What is going on here? And they were like, it says things found in a coffee shop. An opportunity is not a thing. And I was like, by whose standards? And they were like, Google. They Googled it. And apparently a thing has to be tangible. It has to be an object. So I didn't get any points. It was very disappointing. But I learned two things last week. My family needs to be a lot more creative when it comes to game night. Appreciate creativity when it comes. Two, I was wrong. I did not know what the word thing meant. It's very important that you know what words mean. Words are very powerful. If you don't know what words are, then you're going to walk around like an idiot thinking things are things when they're not things at all. So words are important. I realized 2 months ago I don't actually know what the word discipleship means. You know, I hear it used all the time, kind of just thrown around. It sounds like just the noun for being a disciple, being a follower of Jesus. But I was like, I don't actually know what it means. I think people use it as like a way to describe accountability, you know, keeping each other strong in our decision to be a disciple. But I still, like, I didn't know what it means. And I was like, I need to know what this word means. And so, after 2 months of really seeking this out, my own personal Bible study and listening to podcasts, I found a definition of discipleship that was acceptable to me. So, discipleship is framing our lives around the discipline of Jesus, yielding to God's will, and creating the conditions for transformation to take place in our lives, so that as we walk through life with Jesus, we become more like him. Adding on to that definition, perfection is not required in discipleship, and results are not our expectation. Results are the byproduct of discipleship. Our expectation is to be humble and diligent and willing to follow, which was very different than what I was finding at first. I think the first thing I did, I looked in the Bible. The word discipleship is not in the Bible, by the way. The word disciple is, and it's only found in 5 books in the Bible, and so I figured I should probably start there. I looked at every time that Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple, or if he was ever giving correction or instruction to his disciples, and it was a whole list of things in my journal that I had. And I don't know about you, but when you look at whatever that list may be, a short list, it would be like, carry your cross daily, love others the way that Jesus loved us, yield to God's will, take care of the widows. Just a very short list. I probably had like 8 things written down. Those 8 things, and I already looked at that, and I was like, this just looks like a list of things that I'm not doing every day or things that I'm not very good at, which is kind of true. But when we make it, when we make discipleship simply a list of things that we're supposed to do, I think we can sometimes get the wrong mindset. It becomes more about ourselves. Long story short, it becomes about ourselves. It becomes more about our performance or what we're able to bring to the table or what we're doing right or what we're not doing right and all these things. And I was like, clearly this list of things is important because Jesus said to do them. But I was like, is this actual discipleship just following this list? Is it more than just keeping one another accountable? But when I looked at this definition, I was like, it just opened my mind to so much more. If you see discipleship more as a transformation, becoming one thing, starting as one thing and becoming something else completely different, you view it more as a process of what God intended for you to be since the day you were born. And so this transformation that we're relying on God for, it's only realized when you rely on God, when you have a relationship with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And so what I want to share with you this morning is kind of just a snippet of what I was able to find. I listened to this podcast that Katie Cruz had sent the interns, and I in turn sent it to like 10 or 15 people because it was just so insightful and so powerful, and it was about transformation and the Holy Spirit and how it plays a role in that. And I just want to share some of those thoughts with you guys this morning. When you think of discipleship as a process, as a transformation, it changes our perspective and how we go about it. And it's important to understand that in a process, it doesn't look the same the whole time. I think the easiest analogy you think of is a caterpillar to a butterfly. You know, it starts as this one thing that is crawling around on sticks and eating leaves, and then it turns into this thing that can fly. It's a completely different thing, and it's a process, though, and it looks different at each point in that process. A perfect example in the Bible would be Saul, if you want to turn over to Acts 9. Saul was this guy that was not for Jesus at all. After Jesus died and was resurrected, people were preaching about him, talking about his plan for salvation, and a lot of people didn't like that. Saul was at the forefront of that. He was breathing out murderous threats against God's people. That is what it says in verse 1. Has anyone ever heard someone breathe out a murderous threat before? You know? Okay, see me after class. I'd like to know what that sounds like, actually, because I really want to know what that sounds like. This guy really did not like Christians. He was persecuting them. He was throwing them in prison, torturing them, and that's not all he became. He eventually transformed into something else through this incident with Jesus. If you start in verse 3, he's going to the city of Damascus to imprison more Christians. It says, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there, speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could not see anything. So they led him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, and he did not eat or drink anything. If you continue to read, what happens is he has another encounter with Jesus where Jesus is like, I have a mission for you. You're actually going to be my chosen instrument to go spread the gospel to the Gentiles. And so he gives him this mission, and then he restores his sight. Paul gets up, he can see again, he gets baptized, and he recuperates from his rough couple of days. And then days later, he goes and is preaching about how Jesus is the Messiah. It is a very stark contrast. That is like the perfect example of transformation. He had this amazing experience, and it changed him forever. And so, kind of relating it back to a transformation, there is something really cool in this podcast that I listened to where it kind of talked about that process. There's two moments. There's two different types of moments in that process. And it looks very different, but both are very critical. And we see the first one here in the story with Saul. He talks about breakthrough moments. The more he elaborated, I realized that's what I've called my whole life, God moments. And these are the times when God accelerates our maturity and understanding and our wisdom and our discipleship. It's usually through special encounters with the Holy Spirit. Perfect example, Saul walking along the road, and then a light flashes down, and then he's transformed for the rest of his life. It was a huge, rare moment in life. And what's unique about these times is that they bring freedom from what's holding us back in our transformation. I think we can think in our lives, in our discipleship, in everyone's walk with God, there are those moments that kind of just change you forever. One of those moments, I'll quickly tell this story. I've told this story to our middle school ministry multiple times and some of our teens, and they're probably sick of hearing it, but it is just like one of the biggest testaments of my faith. And it was about almost 4 years ago, it was my sophomore year of college, and I was having a really rough time. It was a moment where I realized that a lot of my spirituality and a lot of my faith was actually resting in those around me, and that I was determining how well I was doing as a disciple or how much I wanted to be a disciple based on what everyone else around me was doing, and that was very damaging to me. And it got to a point where I was just so broken and so upset, I felt very alone. It was like one of those times, you know, we all have those times when it's a Friday night and all your roommates are gone and you're like in the middle of your living room on your knees praying to God. Everyone, has anyone ever, is that just me? Yeah? Okay, cool. Well, it was one of those moments where you're just like so broken. I was sitting there, I was begging God to help me out of whatever I was going through because I just felt like I couldn't do it myself. I was begging him. And then, I don't know how quite to describe this. You might not believe me when I say this, and it wasn't creepy at all. But I heard a voice in my head that was not my own, and it told me to go to the swamp, which, if you didn't know, is the summer camp that we send all of our kids to every year. And it was definitely not my thought. At the time, I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with my upcoming summer plans, and I'd considered being a full-time counselor at the swamp, and then I decided I didn't want to do that, and I was going to do something else. But in that moment, something in my head was like, go to the swamp. And I had no idea why that was in my head and what it had to do with my situation at the time, but I decided to listen to it. The deadline to apply for it was like the next day, so I sat there that night, I applied to be a counselor, and I got the job as a counselor. But I went into it and I was like, I have no idea why I'm doing this. It's not what I intended on doing. Growing up, I didn't like going to the swamp that much. I know that's like probably like a sin to you guys. I don't know. I feel like everyone loves the swamp. I didn't like it that much when I was a kid. And so going back, I was like, it's not like a big deal. But I went and I decided to do it. And it seriously like transformed my entire life. I like could do a whole sermon in itself, like of what has come from being able to go be a counselor at the swamp. I'll share a couple with you. And a lot of it, I feel like, has been revealed this year. But I think about the fact that I got to counsel that summer some of our kids in Northview. I got to counsel AJ Cyrus and David Fenton. This was right after their freshman year of high school. And I didn't really know them that well. They were just kind of those little kids at church at one point in my life. But it was really cool because I had an amazing week with them. And that was probably like the best cabin I've ever had, counseling at the swamp. And sure enough, a year later, I came to intern here with our teen ministry, and I already knew those guys, and I got to be their intern, and it was a really cool thing. I feel like we kind of had like a prequel almost before going into that. We got to go to Bolivia together. It was really awesome. That summer at the swamp, I had my very first opportunity to translate, because I can speak Spanish. You just can't tell because I never do it. But I can speak Spanish, and that summer, Rolando, who was from Nicaragua, he came to America to learn how to run camp. The man did not know a lick of English. And Jeff Rohrbaugh, who was the director, did not know a lick of Spanish. And so that week, instead of counseling, I was his like personal translator. And that was my first time ever being able to translate. And it opened up so many opportunities for me to be able to have that experience that I'm being able to use today, because one of my responsibilities as a full-time minister here now is I get to work with the Spanish-speaking ministry. And so that was like one of the ways. I could keep going. It may seem small to you, but like it's like none of that would have happened if I didn't listen to that voice in my head, if I didn't recognize that breakthrough moment in my walk with God. And I think about just being here in general and what I'm able to give to our teens and our middle schoolers. And a lot of it I learned at the swamp, and it brought so many amazing relationships, mentorship relationships. And it was just an amazing time. So a breakthrough moment. Those are the most obvious signs of like transformation in our discipleship. But there's another type of moment in our transformation, in our discipleship. This is what this preacher called process moments. These are the slow, day-to-day, mundane, daily practices and disciplines that help us be more like Jesus. These are the like 1,000, tens of thousands of small, ordinary moments and opportunities to be like Jesus. This is things like reading your Bible, praying, smiling at people, not flicking people off in traffic, exercising generosity, humility, Yeah, it's tens of thousands of different ways to just exercise being like Jesus. And that's when it clicked with me, all of that, the list of rules or expectations as I was seeing them. That's where those come into play. It's not a list of rules or expectations. These are the disciplines that help us be more and more like Jesus, and that really keep the pace of our transformation. If breakthrough moments bring freedom and healing, and they're very rare moments, these process moments, really, that's where deep character change comes in. It's through very small decisions that you're making today that affect the disciple that you're going to be tomorrow. And these are also very important because each of us have these like deeply ingrained patterns in our life because we've been shaped in different ways. And if we decide to be a disciple, if we decide to walk with God, some of those patterns have to be undone. And it looks different for everybody. It could be as simple as like perfectionism or pride or anger. It could be addiction. It could be all these things that could have that were shaped at some point in your life, whether it was like a childhood trauma or just bad habits, or it's all these things that are just like deeply ingrained in us. And for me, that's fear. I live, even as a disciple and even trying to undo most of it, I still live a lot of my life in fear. I have deeply ingrained, rooted fears of rejection and disapproval. And I have like a very deep longing and desire to be accepted by people and for other people to build up my self-esteem. And it's a very unhealthy thing in my life. But a lot of my discipleship is undoing a lot of that. You know, that breakthrough moment that I was talking about where I listened to God and followed what he wanted me to do, that was amazing, but that wasn't enough. It was an acceleration in my understanding and my maturity, but there was still some work that I had to do. And those are those process moments. It's telling myself, okay, like, you don't have to be accepted by everybody. You don't have to win everyone's approval. You don't have to be liked by everybody. It's all these different things. It's and then applying that in my discipleship and aligning myself with Jesus. Those are the process moments. It's kind of like when I was a young boy, I thought that being 13 was going to be the coolest thing in the world. I thought that 13 was like the epitome of life. I thought it was going to be the height of luxury. For all my John Mulaney fans out there, yeah. I thought that 13 was going to be amazing. I was very deceived. I got to 13 and I was very disappointed. It was not all it was cracked up to be. And then I thought to myself, I wish I could just be 16. Light years away. I just want to skip ahead to that. That'll be amazing. I'll be in high school. I'll be mature. I'll be cool. I can drive. All these different things. I got to 16. I was not as disappointed, but I was sorely wrong. Again, I could not drive. I failed my permit test. And while the age of 16 was great, high school is not a great place. High school is terrible. Like, it was not what I thought it was going to be. I did the same thing for 18 and 21, and I'm not so much doing that with 25 because I apparently once you hit 25, that's when it goes downhill. But the point is, I was constantly looking forward to this next chapter, and I just wanted to skip ahead, and I just wanted to like get to that point and not really put the work into it, you know? But the reality is, it's the decisions you're making right now. It's the decisions you're making today. It's the mindset and attitudes you have today that is going to shape who you're going to become later. And that's the importance of these process moments. That's the importance of like the slow day-to-day disciplines of becoming a disciple. So, two types of moments in the process. It looks different in every point, but it definitely takes effort from you, but there is definitely, God is with you the whole way, and it's his spirit that's moving. And so my last point that I'd like to make before I close out is that transformation, this discipleship, this invitation that Jesus is offering us, it's for anybody. It doesn't really matter what you bring to the table. It doesn't matter what strengths you think you have or what weaknesses that you're clinging to, but it's for everybody. And I think he made that very obvious when he was calling his first disciples. I spent a lot of time reading all of the Gospels the past 2 months, and Luke 5 specifically was very revealing of the type of person that becomes a disciple. This was after Jesus helped them make this amazing catch of fish. He was talking to these fishermen, and he challenged them to go put out their nets in deep water, even though it was unlikely that they would catch fish there, and they were really tired. And they listened to him, and they caught this amazing amount of fish that their boats began to sink. And it's funny, Peter's first reaction is so relatable. Once he realized that this guy had some power and that he had some authority, he was like, get away from me. I'm undeserving. I'm a sinful man. You should not be around me. But Jesus' response to that is so much more revealing of what he's looking for in discipleship. Those were exactly the type of people that Jesus wanted. He wanted people. He didn't want people who were perfect, who had money, who had reputation or status, any of that stuff. He wanted people that were going to be humble and that were willing to trust in what he had to say and trust in his authority. That's the people he wanted to be disciples. And that was his response. That's who he took on with him. And so that being said, it's like this transformation, this discipleship, it doesn't matter where you are right now, whether you've decided to become a disciple or not, whether you are in discipleship right now. It doesn't matter where you are or where you've been. It's about moving forward. It's about trusting in God. It's about trusting in Jesus and the words he has to offer us. And that is how successful discipleship comes. It doesn't come from what you bring to the table or your perfection or your strengths or your weaknesses or what you've done in your life. It's all about trusting in Jesus. And that's a really important thing to keep in mind, especially when you look at that list of things, the list that is easy to look at and say, like, oh, I have to do this or I'm expected to do this. And when you do that, it kind of gets more into like what you feel like doing or what you don't feel like doing or what other people are expecting from you. But like, no, it's not those. That's not what it is. It's a list of things that when we follow Jesus, when we humbly follow him and just trust in his word, we'll see those things play out in our lives. And so for you this morning, I just want you to think about where you are in your walk. Maybe you have felt stuck for a while, or maybe you think discipleship or the idea of being a disciple is daunting and impossible for you because you think you're unworthy or you think that you're not good enough. That doesn't matter. Or maybe you've been a disciple and you're just really tired of being a disciple or you're feeling weary or discouraged for some reason. Think about why you feel that way. Think about what you're doing today, the mindset that you have today. And just keep in mind, that's what's really going to take you forward. If you're trying to get somewhere, you're not going to get there by relying on other people's approval of you or what you bring to the table or your perfection. It's going to come from walking with Jesus. I think when you walk with Jesus, you know, you think about walking through the highs and lows of life, through the worst of tragedies and through the most joyous celebrations. When you walk with him and remember that he's there with you and actually take on his perspective, you start acting a little bit uncharacteristic of yourself. You, instead of worrying and being frantic and panicking over your situations, you're like, no, it's going to be okay. I prayed about it. Like, God is with me. I have peace with that. And you're like, whoa, how am I acting like that? That's becoming like Jesus. That's having his mindset. That's having his perspective. And so just think about that for a second. If you're trying to get somewhere, if you're stuck in your discipleship, if you're worrying about all these other things, just keep in mind that walking with Jesus humbly and just being determined and becoming more like him, that's true discipleship. So that's what I got for you. Thank you.